Happy Christmas, everyone. We're reading from Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Rebecca, for reading. A very Merry Christmas to you. I should say a hello to all those who are perhaps watching on Facebook. I know some of you are isolating and can't be here with us, but we do wish you also a very happy Christmas. Now, those of you who are younger members of our congregation, you should have a crib sheet to help you follow what I'm going to say, and if you try and fill it in and colour it in, and maybe give it back to me at the end, and in January, we'll see if we can't give a prize to the person who has the best crib sheet that has been filled out, okay? But we're in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, responding to Jesus. Before we go any further, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you for the birth of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we read in Luke's Gospel that today in the town of David, the Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Help us to respond rightly to our Messiah, to the Lord Jesus, as a result of that first Christmas. Help us, despite the distractions and the problems of the last year, to think about how we should respond correctly to him. And we ask these things for his name's sake. Amen. Well, there can be few passages of the Bible that have become as misrepresented as Matthew chapter 2. Not necessarily in a bad way, you understand. No, indeed, this brief episode in Matthew's Christmas story has captured the imagination of Christians for centuries. But as a result, it has inspired many legends and myths. So it's hard to sometimes focus in on what the story says rather than what we think it says. The picture we have in our heads can be so different to the original. For example, we sing, or we've been known to sing, "We three kings of Orient are." That's one of the answers on your crib sheet, if you're paying attention, young people. And you might even know them as Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But Matthew never tells us they were kings, nor even that there were three of them. The truth is, it is possible that women were even among them. Indeed, some church traditions say there were 12 magi. Furthermore, Melchior, is represented in pictures and paintings as a grey-haired man with a long beard who brings the gold. A Caspar is a younger man who carries the frankincense. And Balthazar is represented as having African origins, with a newly grown beard who brings with him the myrrh. Now, this may tick our equal opportunities or diversity box, but none of this is recorded for us in our Bibles. So we need to do our level best not to get distracted in our romanticising of the Christmas story and miss the point of what we can truly learn about God, our own spiritual journey, and our response to Jesus, the Christ child. Now, there are three different responses. There are three different responses to the Christ child in today's passage. And the first response is from King Herod. We discover that even in his infancy, Jesus inspired both worship and hostility, both praise as well as rejection. And things haven't changed much in the last 2,000 years. In Herod's case, Jesus inspired hostility in the form of anger and rejection. Herod reigned as king in Israel for 40 years, and he was called Herod the Great for good reason. He was a great man. He was able to maintain peace and stability in what was historically a very volatile region of the world. He was a brilliant architect and builder, and a great man of vision. Apparently, in difficult times, he was even known to stop people paying taxes in order to give them a better chance of survival. And during one particularly rough famine, he even melted down some of his own gold in order to buy corn for his starving people. But like all of us, Herod also had a dark side, a deep character flaw. He simply could not tolerate others rivaling his power. History tells us that he murdered his own wife and mother-in-law, and had three of his sons assassinated. Basically, he was radical when it came to dealing with anyone who got close to taking power from him. The Roman Emperor Augustus is said to have joked that it was better to be Herod's pig than his son. This was an insulting play on words, since the word for pig and son sound quite similar in one of the languages of the first century. Now, a careful reading of verses 1 to 3 of Matthew chapter 2 reveals that the Magi did not go directly to Herod for directions, as is often thought. Rather, they came to Jerusalem inquiring about the one, verse 2, who would be born king of the Jews. And Herod gets wind of this, verse 3. Now, it's not hard to picture his paranoid reaction to this situation. There's only one king in Israel, thinks Herod, and that's me. The very thought of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, disturbed Herod and made him angry, verse 3. At the end of verse 3 suggests that all Jerusalem was equally disturbed about Herod's paranoid rage and where it might lead, what he might do. After all, he was regarded as a madman who murdered his own family as well as a great many rabbis. The point is, Herod despised and rejected the very idea that another person had power or authority over him. So sadly, the order he gives later on in this chapter in verse 16 to kill all the babies two and under is not out of character given history's testimony about him as a man. Of course, it is becoming increasingly common for the name of Jesus to make people angry, even today in 2020. Perhaps you have personally been taken aback by the overreaction and hostility caused by the mention of his name in your experience. Maybe that hostility or anger stemmed from a bad experience of church or of Christians, which then gets projected onto Jesus. Even as committed Jesus followers, there may have been times when you or I felt angry at Jesus. My daughter recently pointed out a poster that said, "All I want for Christmas is 2021. 2020 has been a year that many would like to put behind them. Perhaps your life has not turned out the way you expected. Someone you loved has become seriously ill or maybe even died this year. The pain in our lives can be such that we have doubted our experience of God and been tempted to reject the very idea of faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So like King Herod, one response to Jesus is to reject him out of feelings of anger, rejecting his claim of lordship over your life. Unlike Herod, you may not want Jesus dead. Live and let live and all that. Yet if you allow your anger and rejection to persist and to fester, you may end up no better or different than King Herod. The different shades of grey are still grey. Rejection in its different shades still amounts to rejection. Well, that's the first thing. Second, the chief priests and teachers of the law are apathetic and non-committal in their response towards Jesus. The chief priests and teachers of the law are apathetic and non-committal. That's their response to Jesus. King Herod goes to these chief priests and teachers of the law for advice. And in verse 4, he asks them, "Where will God's long-anticipated king or Messiah be born?" The remarkable thing is that they actually know the answer. They've studied their Bibles. The Messiah will be born in the town of Bethlehem in Judah. In verse 6, they even quote this obscure Old Testament Bible book that many of us have a hard time finding in our Bibles in order to back up their theory. But that is precisely the problem. That's all it is. Theory. What should you and I expect from these great religious leaders and Bible scholars? Well, we should expect them to rush off to Bethlehem, together with the Magi, to greet and meet the Messiah that they've been waiting centuries to arrive. But sadly, no. You see, sometimes God's people appear blind to the light others see very, very clearly. So they give Herod the answer he needs and then carry on untroubled and unconcerned with the momentous news that has just been revealed to them. This is very disturbing when you realize that these were the very people whose stated profession was to believe or trust in God himself and his promises. They're the experts who should know these truths and be guiding others in how to live in the light of these truths. Yet they display no feeling, no interest, no enthusiasm, no concern. In fact, the lowly, uneducated shepherds of Luke chapter 2 display greater spiritual hunger, concern, and understanding than these well-educated, religious Bible scholars. How incredibly sad. And yet today, how many people do you know who know the facts about Jesus in their heads but don't recognize him as their king in their hearts? Perhaps you're just such a person here today, this morning. Is apathy or an unwillingness to commit to what you know about Jesus your biggest problem here this morning? But the truth is, even those of us who profess to know and love Jesus, how often do we know in our heads what he wants from us, Yet we become apathetic or non-committal in doing it. We gently but firmly refuse to sit under his lordship over us in certain areas of our lives, despite openly professing to do so. I suspect, like me, you are bad at New Year's resolutions because you struggle with both apathy and commitment. Well, regardless of your struggles and whatever your circumstances, there are some resolutions that are worth making. Like resolving to be committed to Jesus and asking him to regularly give you the strength of his Spirit to keep zealously persevering. We know what 2020 has brought. We don't know what 2021 is going to bring. But we do need to persevere in trusting, in responding rightly to Jesus. So Herod, in anger, rejected Jesus. The religious leaders and leading scholars, because of apathy and a lack of commitment, did exactly the same thing. But I want to exhort you to pursue a third way as we head into 2021, which is the way of these foreign visitors from the East, the Magi. Because their response was one of acceptance and worship. Their response was one of acceptance and worship. See, as well as getting caught up with the Magi, who were they? Where they came from? What did they do and how many of them were there? You and I can also get distracted by the star mentioned in verse 2, verse 9, and verse 10. Apparently, Halley's Comet would have been visible in 11 BC. And Jupiter and Saturn came together brightly in the sky in 7 BC. So scholars have made numerous efforts to explain this star in terms of conjunctions of planets and comets and supernovas and miraculous lights. But the truth is, we're not told. We just don't know. The most we can say is that both the birth and the death of Jesus was marked by supernatural astronomical phenomenons. This seems to be God's way of communicating to you and me, the human race, that from beginning to end, Jesus Christ was no ordinary human being. Perhaps more significant is the contrast Matthew wants us to see between the response of Herod and his so-called wise men, that is the chief priests and teachers of the law, to Jesus, compared with the Magi's response to Jesus. That, I think, is what Matthew wants to bring out, wants us to see. The Magi in Matthew chapter 2 are depicted as persons who are humble enough to follow instructions, verses 4 to 8. They appear to seek no honour for themselves, despite perhaps being quite important people back in their own country. And they gladly pay homage, kneeling before a woman and a child in verse 11. Clearly, they fit the image of lowly servants better than kings. And later, in Matthew 11, verse 25, Jesus says this, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children." The Magi appear like little children to whom the Lord is pleased to reveal things that are hidden from the likes of Herod and his so-called wise men with their great intellect and religiosity. Again, later in Matthew, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who possess the qualities of little children." Matthew 19, verse 14. But later still in Matthew, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, the chief priests and the teachers of the law are angry at the adoration of the crowds, and especially it would seem of the devotion that the little children are directing towards Jesus. But Jesus replies with these words, "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth praise. And in verse 10 and 11, like little children or infants, the Lord calls forth praise and worship from these magi. In other words, the magi embody perfectly the two traits that are ascribed to infants or children in Matthew's gospel. It's as if Matthew wants to commend the childlike, not the childish, the childlike response of the magi to us by aligning it with Jesus, the Christ child himself. If you will not become childlike, you will neither go to nor have Jesus come to you. And notice, while Herod and all Jerusalem, I take it including the chief priests and teachers of the law, felt agitated, disturbed, or troubled, verse 3, the Magi, by contrast, are overjoyed to be on this journey of discovery and faith, in verse 10. And when they finally stand in the presence of Jesus, they humbly and sacrificially accept, adore, and worship him, carrying gifts fit for a king, offering him the absolute best their hands can carry. Verse 11. In contrast to the shallow pretend worship of Herod, in verse 8, we have the intention to worship Jesus by the Magi, stated in verse 2, and then the actual worship of him in verse 11. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, confronts you and I with the Christ child. And as we head into 2021, we need to respond appropriately to him. That's the point. And we get a hint in verse 12 at what that might look like. In other words, will you head into the new year taking the same old road that you've always taken? Or will you let Jesus put you on a different road, a different path, like the Magi did? Look at verse 12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route, another path. When you encounter Jesus, life is never the same again. You get put on a different road, a different path. So, are you? Will you be like King Herod and reject Jesus? Will you be like the chief priests and teachers of the law and remain lost in your apathy and unwillingness to commit to Jesus? Or will you be like the visiting magi from the east and step out on a different journey of faith that will involve sacrifice, yes, but one that leads to rescue and relationship with the God who created you ultimately for relationship with himself? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to be those who accept the Lord Jesus, who worship him and give him the very best that we have to offer. Help us not to be those who reject you out of anger. Help us to be not those who reject you out of apathy or an unwillingness to be committed. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.